Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Yes. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Nothing worse than a straight Christian, you know that. We should all be drunk in the spirit, man. You know, people in the world used to go to bars and get drunk because they wanted to relieve themselves from the ways of the world, not realizing that. It used to cost money, cost pain. And it would promote darkness. But you can get drunk right in the spirit of the living God and be free, joyful, with no torment, no hangover. And you still don't give a hoot. You can just stay joyful and joyful and joyful. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Oh, that people would fight for the presence of God. Then you wouldn't have to fight for your life. You fight for His presence. Amen? Oh, glory. Would you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 4? And out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. You know, we've been talking about seats of dominion, where it says that we are blessed in heavenly places. I'm going to get this out somehow, but praise God. We are blessed. We are seated in heavenly places, and blessed are your spiritual blessing. Amen? And one of the things the enemy wants to always try to do is dethrone us. Tries to get knock you off your seat of dominion. One of the things that's important about having dominion is you first must have authority. And authority comes by submission. If you can't submit to authority, you get none. Too many people are trying to take dominion without authority. And then they wonder why things are happening, where they don't have victory. Then they're always blaming God. Oh, Lord, why this? Why that? Because there's that area of submission. Submit to God, resist the devil. It's real simple. That's the rule. It's a spiritual law. Submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. No submission to God. You cannot resist the devil. That's it. And so many people get taken out because they're still trying to do it in their own strength. Too many individuals still fighting for their life. They think they've earned it. You know, there's something that the Lord said. He says that He will exalt us in due time. He will exalt us in due time. So many individuals want to be exalted before it's due time. And that's because of the spirit of anxiousness. And it's also associated with the spirit of pride. See, what you sow is what you reap. And some of us have sowed so much to the flesh that we're reaping a lot of corruption. So we need to outrun some of the reaping of the corruption by sowing more in the spirit. So the more we sow in the spirit, the more we nullify the reaping of the corruption. But in this place where we're still sowing in the spirit, sometimes God is saying, more. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. And we're saying, Lord, that's all I can give you. No, you can give me more. No, that's all I want to give you. See, it's not, Lord, this is all I can give you. It's, I don't want to give you anymore, really. That's what we say. Because we still want a part of our life, yet we want a part of His life. And you can't serve two masters. So people flip-flop. They're good one day, they're bad the next day. Because they're still living out of the soul of emotion. People that live out of their emotions are the most dangerous people. God is the God of truth, not the God of feeling. And in this, we get a feeling. The feelings are called peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. Amen? And one of the things that the enemy tries to do is dethrone us or get us off of our seats of dominion. He uses the spirit of intimidation. He uses the spirit of anxiousness. Of course, he uses anything else he can. And these things are protectors. They're protector of self. Self is the offspring of darkness. You and I were born in darkness. We were born as children of Satan. He was our father. This is how we were born. We were born in iniquity. We were born in sin. We were born cursed people. That's how we're born. That's why you must be born again. And in this area, that how we were born, and we were born in darkness, Satan still believes that you're his child. He wants to get you back. He'll do everything he can to get you back. And it's not because he loves you. It's because he looks at you as a slave. There's a difference. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that cares. The kingdom of darkness doesn't care. Not at all. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the things that we must be is wise and grab wisdom from above, because the wisdom of the earth is demonic. Now, what we want to do is we want to use the wisdom from God to use the wisdom of the earth so that the wisdom of the earth doesn't use me and you. You know, there's a common sense area, but then there's a spiritual common sense. And there's that area where God wants us to walk in both realms, the natural and the spiritual. Jesus walked in both realms. He was able to see both things. In fact, he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. That's why we must always keep the Lord before us. That's why he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I'll guide your path. Amen? Commit to me your works, and I'll establish your thoughts. All of these areas is keeping the Lord first, because we should be a people of kingdom business, not of man's business, not of carnal business. Everything we do is to labor unto the Lord. When we stop laboring unto the Lord, we labor unto ourselves. When we start laboring unto ourselves, bit by bit, we begin to send money to the kingdom of darkness, not even realizing what we're doing. Because the ruler of this world is Satan, and deception rules the world. That's why people are deceived. His greatest accomplishment was religion. He put man against man. Think of what the war is that's going on right now. It's about a belief. It's about a belief of a pagan god who's trying to push his way to take over the true God. It's fed by hatred, lust, and deception. When you and I should be fed by the presence of God, of peace, joy, and righteousness in his spirit. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the what? Holy Spirit, not himself. He returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit. He was what? Led by the Spirit? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. You know, there is the time where you can no longer run from darkness. You must turn around and battle and fight. Believers do not run from darkness. They defeat it. In those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, the devil did what? Said. So he speaks. Does he speak to us? Yeah. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms. All the what? All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I want you to understand that all the kingdoms of the world were under Satan's authority, because he's the ruler of this earth. Because the devil says to him in verse 6, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish, and that is true. Has everybody got this? We're living in a realm that is ruled by darkness. Everything here, all the political systems, all the financial systems, every system in this realm is ruled by darkness. Every person. Now, they may not know. There's some righteous individuals that are serving in government and so forth. But behind the scenes, it is all ruled by darkness. You cannot defeat darkness in the physical realm. You defeat darkness in the spiritual realm. Too many believers are trying to figure it out in the physical. Our fight is not physical, it is spiritual. And people who do not know how to battle spiritually cannot have victory in the things that God is trying to do. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And he says, I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. In other words, he was willing to give all back, everything that he had, to Jesus if he would worship him. But we know he's a liar. He wouldn't have done it. And Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Only him you shall serve. Only him you shall serve. In other words, we don't serve anything else but him. Then he brought me to Jerusalem. Set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And that is true. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That is true. Psalm 91. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, Satan did not realize that he was tempting God right there, because he was standing in front of him. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So we see that these were the three temptations that the devil put, that uses lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Amen? And in this, he was trying to proclaim, but here is the reality of this. He acknowledged himself and knew that he was the ruler of this earth and the kingdoms. Now, where there is a kingdom, there is a king. Amen? In fact, the word kingdom means king with dominion. King with dominion. And Satan had authority and dominion with his kingdom on this planet because he took it from Adam and Eve. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel 28, I want to talk about one of the things that the Spirit was giving me is order of dominion. There's an order of dominion. And we see there that the one that had dominion was Satan. You know, God cannot come against his word, can he? He doesn't. And he doesn't interrupt himself. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now again, the king of Tyre. Where there's a king, there's a kingdom, right? And who is the king of the earth that rules the earth? Satan. So he is ruler over all things. He has kings in places that work for him with kingdoms because they have dominion. Has everybody got it? Okay. Now, in fact, in Tyre is in Lebanon area. And he said to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection. Now, we know that he's not talking about a man. Right? There's no man to seal a perfection except for Jesus. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Why was this his covering? Because Lucifer, at one time, was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and he was here when God created the earth. It says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created, because Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. In fact, the earth used to be known as the mountain of God, because from the earth, praise and worship used to go forward through the universe. In fact, the earth even used to be inhabited by angels. In verse 14, he said, you are the anointed cherub who what? Covers. What does he cover? He covers the universe with praise. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. What was the holy mountain of God? The earth at that time. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Why? Because he saw creation. He saw God create the earth. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was what? Found in you. In other words, Lucifer, full of pride and arrogance and haughtiness, this was prophesied by Ezekiel. He said, this is what happened. Is everybody with me? So I want you to understand that in this, go to verse 16, and it says, the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your what? Beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. This is Lucifer. These are the things that is going to happen to him. So everybody got it? Go to Revelation chapter 12. Again, Lucifer was actually the first angel created. He was known as the firstborn of the angels. In Revelation 12, we're familiar with this verse. In verse 7, actually, I want to start at verse 1. Let's speak it together. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. These were angels. And threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. These angels that were thrown to the earth. Lucifer was in charge of a third of the angels. Michael was in charge of a third of the angels. And Gabriel was in charge of a third of the angels. Is everybody with me? Now go to verse 7. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. This was God's kingdom. In other words, there was no place, the kingdom of God in heaven, where Lucifer could dwell anymore. God removed him. And when he removed him, Lucifer took a third of the angels with him. Is everybody okay? In verse 9. So the great dragon was cast where? Out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Has everybody got it? Okay. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. So they call these angels fallen angels. Why? Because they fell from light, right? And they went into darkness. They call fallen angels, but actually we call them angels of Satan because there are fallen angels that put on flesh. And we'll talk about that in a second. In Isaiah 14, in verse, hallelujah, 4, that you will take this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, now Babylon, the king of Babylon, okay, so Babylon is actually considered Iraq now. So we see where Lebanon, Iraq, now who's the ruler of this earth? Satan, he's considered a king, isn't he? All right. This is going to be a proverb to the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He who ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down. Who are they talking about? Lucifer. No woodsman has come up against us. Look at verse 9. Read it with me. Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, which means hell, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot, is spread under you. And worms cover you. Verse 12, read it with me. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now remember, he was the worship leader of the universe, right? He was on the earth at this time. That's why he's saying, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Sounds like he had an I syndrome. In verse 15, this was the response of the Lord. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So we see here, these are prophecies that were going to be fulfilled. Not only did certain things happen, remember the Word of God is three-dimensional, past, present, and future. And only by the Spirit of God will you understand whether God is speaking to you during for past, present, or future. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, now one of the things about the angels of Satan, which many call fallen angels, they were known as sons of God at that time. In Genesis chapter 6, is everybody okay? In verse 1, order of dominion. Would you read it with me? Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. These sons of God were angels. These were what we call fallen angels, angels of Satan. They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. And that's where demons came from, when they died. Those who were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why? Because these angels that put on flesh went into these women, produced offsprings. And I'm not going to get all into this right now. So their offsprings always had the intent and thoughts of evil. Evil. And that's when the Lord said, that's it, I'm going to kill everybody. These angels who put on flesh took wives to produce offsprings. Okay? Go to Jude. Actually, go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll show you where these angels are now. There's a book called the Book of Enoch. And in the Book of Enoch, it talks about how Noah cried out to God. And it talks about a couple hundred of these angels supposedly came down and put flesh on. This is where you get the mythical things of Zeus and all of these New Age flick things with all of these giants and whatever. And, you know, these were all angels at that time. And then they produced offsprings that were giants. In 2 Peter chapter 2, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's start at verse 3. And let's start at verse 1. That's good. Let's read it together. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. That's happening now, isn't it? By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, what angels are these? The ones that put on flesh. But cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on a world of ungodliness, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Now, again, he's talking about those angels that put on flesh and went into women and produced offsprings. He talks about it again in Jude. Turn to the book of Jude. In verse 5. Jude 5. Let's speak it together. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper what? Domain. But left their own abode. Which ones are these? The ones that put on flesh. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these. Having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These are fallen angels. We have angels of Satan, amen, that have fallen with Satan, a third of those angels. But then there are fallen angels that are chained for judgment. And one of the things I want to talk about is the order of dominion, so we get an understanding of what's really happening in the unseen realm. See, there is so much influence in the unseen realm that too many believers are not really taking heed to it. They are being so manipulated, so perverted, and so bound by pride that one of the things that the enemy wants to do is put blinders back on us. And when the blinders begin to come back on us by deception, our heart becomes hardened again. And when our heart becomes hardened, we begin to nullify or put the anointing in dormant state, because you must cooperate. And the only thing we begin to cooperate with then is fear, anxiety, stress, selfishness. The things that promote self and the things that protect self. Let me tell you something. When you begin to prove yourself, I can tell you immediately you're out of line. We don't have to prove ourselves, we're pre-approved. If you're truly in relationship with the Lord, when you find yourself starting grumbling and complaining, I can guarantee you you've fallen out of position, because then you don't trust. Is everybody okay? Listen, we're going to go through stuff, but we're going to go through it. The Word tells us that you'll know them by their fruit. Well, you're going to know the voice by its fruit also. You're going to know the presence by its fruit. I'm telling you, you can walk in and you can just sense something's not right. You know it. Why? Because we're to be carrying the presence of God. And the Spirit of the Lord tells us all things to come. He tells us truth. We should know it instantly. Instantly. It's amazing on how, you know, in our discipleship houses, things will occur and people will think that we have the room bugged or something. I get people telling me that all the time. Man, are you just standing out the door? Is my room bugged? Is my car bugged? No, it's called the Holy Spirit bug. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, and if you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to see these things, you're going to sense these things, and God's going to lead you to these things. You know, when we begin to see troubles on our campus, the first thing that comes to me is cursed item. Now, let me tell you something. A person can become the accursed item. How can a person become the accursed item? Because rebellion brings a curse. Now, that person becomes the accursed item, and it spreads like cancer. Look, God doesn't give us a spirit of confusion, a spirit of fear, right? Again, when you begin to start trying to protect yourself, you can be guaranteed that a spirit is there. When you begin to promote yourself, when you begin to get anxious, you can be guaranteed that a spirit is there trying to influence you. And she's trying to knock you off your seat of dominion. He wants to dethrone you so that the world is more important, that you're more important. And he begins to drift away from kingdom business and get involved in self-business. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody there? In verse 10, everybody knows this, God willing. Let's speak it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know how many believers don't even put on the armor? They still don't know. Man, you're going into battle. This is a battle. We need to be dressed with the full armor of God. In verse 12. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. The things naturally, right? But against what? Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These right here are angels that have been placed in position. Angels of Satan. Is everybody okay? Principalities that are highest ranking angels of Satan's kingdom. There is in other words, they rule nations, they rule areas. And in these principalities, that's why the word prince is there. And in this, they are with the highest ranking angels. In other words, they're known as chief princes. And the next thing it talks about, the principalities and against powers. Powers are angels that do Satan's bidding. In other words, in the area of territorial spirits. They are territorial spirits. That's why you see certain areas that they may be impoverished, addicted, prostitution. Those are ruled by territorial spirits. These are angels. that influence, and then there's other ranks. There's demons, and a strong man is a higher ranking demon than a regular demon. Those are foot soldiers for Satan's kingdom. But they control territories. So you have principalities. You have Satan as the king and his kings. Then you have principalities. You have the powers. And in these areas, these powers are territorial spirits that rule. You have rulers of darkness. These are angels that are rulers of the spirit world that influence deception in the natural realm to assist Satan's intent. Rulers of darkness. In fact, some of these are, there are individuals that are Satan worshipers that are demonized individuals. They choose to worship Satan, and these rulers of darkness will communicate with them. And then you have spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These angels operate from the heavenlies of Satan's seat of operation. Not only in the heavenlies. Now, when we speak of heavenlies, it's not only heavenlies in the atmosphere area, in the heavenlies, but heavenly meaning unseen realm. Because we know that he operates out of the earth, known as hell or as king. He's got thrones here. I mean, he's got ports also. Did you ever wonder why, like the Bermuda Triangle, people disappear there? It's one of his exit ports. He's got many ports. Just like the body of Christ is, there's a body of Satan into the world. There are areas of demonic flow. We met a woman that was a missionary in Africa, and she gave us a powerful testimony about a witch doctor. What was it called? A witch doctor and a man or something? And he was to inherit everything from his family. His family was brought up of witches. And his dad used to bring him in the jungle, and these demons would actually appear to him. He was able to change himself into five different reptiles. And he would go into places, and he would able to go into these ports and go under the seas. And he talked about a city under the sea. In fact, I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a famous underwater explorer. Yeah, Jacques Cousteau, who was scuba diving, and they found this place, and they went into the areas, and I think it was in the Bermuda Triangle, and they found, and while they were searching for something, I don't know what they were, that he was hearing screams, and he thought it was his imagination. He got closer and closer to the noise, and he saw these bars that were on the bottom of the ocean floor, and when he went to go grab the bars, his screams were so intense that it frightened him so badly that he was going to quit scuba diving. Because it's an area where he found one of the ports in that area, in Bermuda Triangle. And it talked about this individual that could change himself, and he used to change himself into an alligator or something and actually go and go up and spew a slime on a child and grab that child and bring him underwater and kill him. And then offered that child to Satan or whomever, animals, everything. But he talked about a city underwater that had technology. They had computers. They had everything there. And he used to be able to go there. And he would spend 6 months at a time there. And he was boasting one day about how he was able to do this as a human because of his witchcraft abilities and powers. You know, Satan, prince of power of air. He does have power. And while he was boasting, one of the demons said there was somebody else that had been down to hell. And he said, I want to meet that person, because he was full of pride. Who is he? What's his name? And the demons say, we can't speak his name, because when we do, hell shakes for 2 weeks. And he said, I want to meet him. Well, the individual went back home. And I mean, and the village that they lived in, everybody feared him and his family. And one day he was walking in the village, because they used to be able to go into the stores and take whatever they wanted, whatever. All of a sudden he was walking in a village and something grabbed him and began to drag him. And all of a sudden, these two doors opened up at the church. And he brought him in and sat him in the back of the church. And he was calling out, he thought some of the demons were playing with him. And he was calling out for help. And nobody, none of his demon friends could help him. And he talked about some of his demons that were huge. And he kept trying to fight and fight. He said, who are you? What are you doing? What are you doing to me? He said, you wanted to meet me. And he sat him down in the back pew, and the preacher freaked out because he knew what family he was coming from. He was like, oh, he started doing all kinds of spiritual warfare. And, wow. Yeah. And, And the preacher was speaking about salvation and said, anybody want to get saved? Come on up here. Well, he had no intent in getting saved, but whatever grabbed him, dragged him up to the altar and said, you wanted to meet me. Who are you? He says, I am Jesus. And he realized that all of his demons couldn't cut him loose from the hand of God. All the principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly, no one could help him. He accepted the Lord. It took him 2 years of deliverance. His whole family got saved, and they are now evangelizing Africa. Glory! In Mark chapter 1. So you see here, this is the order of dominion in Satan's kingdom. The kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. Well, you know who's going to win. It's already won. In Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 13. Now, after the Spirit drove him into the wilderness again, and he was tempted by Satan and was with the wild beasts, and what came to minister to him? Angels came to minister to him. Do you know that there are ministering angels? There are warring angels. In fact, when you are, there are angels that are working on our behalf. It says that a legions of angels are working on our behalf. Do you know that one angel of the Lord can kill 180,000 people? Happened for David. So what are we worried about? You can hear about many testimonies where people have been in a circumstance and getting ready to shot. Even John Hagee, somebody came in to shoot him. And if you kept shooting right in front of him, he couldn't get him. One day we were driving down the road, and my wife and I were driving together, and we came to a four-way stop sign in a country road, and you couldn't see anything. And I wanted to move, and I could not move. I couldn't get my foot off the clutch to move. It was like somebody held me. And I was about to say, I don't know why I can't move. And my wife looked at me and said, why aren't you moving? And all of a sudden, a car ran a stop sign about 50 miles an hour. Vroom, my side. And I just started praising God. And once that car went through, I was able to take my foot off and lift the clutch up and take off. See, there are angels around us, but one of the things that we want to do is be able to cooperate. They move on the commands of the Lord. And then the commands of the Lord, it's because your prayers with him. You can even add, Lord, dispatch your angels ahead. Send your warring angels into this place before I go. See, but if we're not really sensitive enough or discerning about the spirit realm, we stay carnal, we stay dull. And what our battle is then, we're always battling with the area of the natural, and we're trying to fight a spiritual fight with natural wisdom, natural resources. We try to fight us. Listen, you cannot fight a spiritual fight with all the money in the world. You will lose. Money cannot defeat a spiritual battle. You can't pay a demon off. Has everybody got it? You can't do it. Won't work. Oh, a demon would like to bribe you with money, though. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In other words, the kingdom of God is here. The eternal, the king with dominion is here. Repent that you may enter so that you can be washed by the blood is here. In Luke 11, repent, turn from the ways of the world, enter into the kingdom. Luke 11, verse 14. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? And he was casting out, and he, Jesus, was casting out demons. And it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? How will his what? Kingdom, because he has a what? He has a kingdom. Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? I'm going to say verse 19 again. But if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Verse 20, read it with me. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Why? Because the kingdom of God will expose darkness. In Luke 17. Luke 17. Doesn't the Bible say, and those who believe in my name, signs will follow them? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead. You know, one of the things that happens is that people don't realize that some of the demonic forces that are ruling, they hold keys. They hold keys to things. And when we take those places, those keys are released. And they are given back to the kingdom of God in these territorial areas. That's why it's so important to battle. This is not religion. This is reality. This is a military operation by God Almighty. You are not saved to twiddle your thumbs, sit in a pew, and do nothing. We were saved. Remember, here, this is something very important. You are called to battle, right? Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with talents and abilities God's given you. That's us. That's you. I'm going to say that again. You're called to battle. Amen? Called to what? Battle. What's our purpose? Destroy Satan's kingdom. What's our destiny? Infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities God's given us. Then we're done. Hallelujah. In Luke 17, in verse 20, is everybody there? Now when he, Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, they were looking for a city and everything. That's not yet. It's coming. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? Within us. So the kingdom of God is within us. First within us, then you will see later the fullness of the kingdom of God. In Colossians chapter 1. And how was this possible? Because Jesus paid the price for me and you. That the kingdom of God would not only be in us, but manifest through us. In Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9. Let's speak it. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, the knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's not talking about carnal. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That patience means endurance. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hello. He's what? Delivered us from the power. We were delivered from the power of darkness. Why? Because we're no longer placed under that. We're above it. We are delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of God, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And we are in the image of the invisible Son. But as a man thinks, so he is. So you can no longer see yourself according to carnal. You must see yourself according to Christ. You know, after my visitation from the Lord, it was very difficult for me after being filled. And truly, what we call being filled is nothing compared to being to the glory of God, being filled and taken in his presence. But I found myself saying things without knowing the word that Christ would say. In fact, I found myself being just like Jesus because I was so filled. And I would say things, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would say things. And see, when I met the Lord in that arena, he was my Father. He was not God, even though he was God. He was not the Son of God, even though he was God. He was my Father, and I was his Son. And he is your Father, and you are his sons and daughters. And the character of Christ, by his Spirit that dwells with us, wants to express us, but the enemy wants to suppress it. So he messes with your mind. We've got to come to a place where we constantly unlock those things that the world says, what the voice of the stranger says, what the impressions say, what your circumstances say. We've got to constantly keep ourselves unlocked from being imprisoned by the world. Because if we stay locked, we're in the matrix. We must live out of the matrix, even though we live in the matrix. We must see from out to in. Amen? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is where? Before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the what? The head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Wow. That's him who's in you. We have dominion over everything, over every creeping thing. But one of the things, again, that are always coming against us, we have a tendency to try to fix things carnally, naturally, physically, instead of spiritually. Nothing will be fixed physically until it is fixed spiritually. Romans 14. Almost done, about 40 more scriptures. I'm only kidding. Hang in there. I didn't mean to go so long, but praise God, it's a good night to die. Well, you came to hear the truth, right? Romans 14, verse 16. Therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, hello, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy, where? In the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to stay filled. The more filled you are, the more Christ-like you are. The less filled you are, the less Christ-like you are. The more you worship, the more you get filled. The more you worship, the more you drink, the more you get drunk, the more you don't care. The more sensitive you are. Amen? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is vital to grow in spiritual discernment and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's activities. It's vitally important. They prepare us to cooperate with the Lord of hosts in the heavens, in the heavenly strategies. We must cooperate with heavenly strategies that involves angelic assistance because of our seats of dominion. And we do this with intercession and agreement with heaven's agenda. Again, we do this with intercession and agreement with heaven's agenda by decree. In Daniel 10. Oh, hallelujah. If Daniel knew that Jesus had the keys to bind and loose, he wouldn't have had to wait so many days for an answer. Daniel chapter 10. In verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear. Why? Because he knew fear would push him out of position. Don't fear, Daniel. It's okay. And he said, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is now Iran, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. The prince of Persia, one of the ruling princes over Persia, which is Iran, was preventing an angel, a messenger of angel, to get to Daniel. He had to wait for Michael, the archangel, to come and assist him. In the physical realm, it took 21 days. In the spirit realm, it took seconds. And then he got an answer. But see, you and I can bind and loose. We can fight in these areas. We can bind principalities, territorial spirits, and all, bind, blind, mute, and deaf them. You can bind and blind, mute, and deaf voices. See, we must begin to make the unseen even more seen to us now than ever. And the battle's going to get harder. It's going to get stronger, and we must fight more. You cannot just get up and just go, oh, Lord, thank you for another day. Dress me, fill me, bless me, and see you later. You will not have victory. You will have to be rescued. Amen? And look at even Iran is still threatening Israel. I mean, their whole goal is to annihilate Israel. That's what they want to do. The kingdom comes. You know, that prayer we say, the kingdom be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. When it was asked of Jesus, how do you pray? Jesus gave him a guideline. He gave him a reality here. He said, ask. Make sure that you ask. Don't assume. Don't assume something is going to happen without asking. Things must be asked because they must be decreed. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Have you asked? Have you decreed? And it's not just a one-time event. It's continuously. Continuously. Every day, we must be first strikers to the powers of darkness. Things will not happen physically until it has happened spiritually. Amen? In Ephesians 4, the Bible says that the heavenlies are taken by force. They're taken by force. In other words, we have a battle to do. We take things by force. The kingdom of darkness is not just going to surrender. We take it by force. We take it by prayer. We take it by decree. And when you're weak, then have somebody pray with you to cause legions to fight. When you've gotten to a place where you just can't do it by yourself, get with a believer and pray with them. Don't be so prideful, because pride will definitely kick you off your seat. Personal reverence into a deadly end, pride. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be what? Children, immature children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or every wind that anyone says, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, so everybody's got a part to play. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Say it. Every part does its share. Causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And I want to close at Revelation chapter 1, even though I got more scriptures. But Frank's running out of ink. Hallelujah. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings. Made us what? Kings. Now remember, Satan has kings here, doesn't he? Jesus made us his kings. Oh, that you may know who you are, and that you may unlock the bondages of the things that the enemy tries to nullify your thoughts, according to the kingdom living kingdom precepts and perspectives. It's ours. He paid the price. Victory should be in every battle. We don't retreat. We fight to the death. Because he did. And he has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Order of dominion. Get it. Get in order. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed has been imparted, be protected by the blood of the Lamb, and that revelation and impartation and boldness would come forth by your Spirit in us. I want to thank all the listeners and all the viewers and everyone here tonight. For any more teachings and resources, please visit our eternallibrary.org. And may the Lord bless you, keep you, and snare your enemies in their nets while you escape safely. And prosper you abundantly in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.